Pleasant good morning to you. It's always a pleasure to be gathered with the saints. Those who are visiting with us, we're glad you're here, and we hope that you will give careful attention to the message of God this morning. How did you do? How did you do in 2023? In November of 2022, and all through 23, we changed our schedule as a congregation. We stopped our Sunday evening worship to pursue other things, other additional studies and activities. What did you do with the additional time? How many more good works were you involved in? How much more encouragement did you give? How much did you grow in 2023? As elders, we intended for this to be a time of spiritual growth and the congregation working together to grow, but many of us made little effort or no effort to join in those afternoon efforts. We had some Sunday afternoon worship periods when attendance was near 30. We had men's meetings with less than 10 in attendance. We had other efforts that many just largely did not participate in. So, how did you do? As elders, Ronnie and I agree, there's a need for growth in the congregation. We need to spend time together, to know one another, to grow in love and involvement and encouragement. Many will stay after an assembly. My wife and I last year frequently were leaving the building around 1 o'clock. As the last people would leave. But some folks flee from the assemblies afterwards as fast as possible, it seems. Some before we even dismiss. If it's not your habit to stay and visit a bit, then I would encourage you to change that habit, starting today. The only way we're going to know one another and know how and when to encourage is through time together outside of the worship assembly. Visitors attend our worship assembly, and many of them never give us a chance to get to know them, and that's okay. But do you, as a member of this congregation, know who is a visitor and who is a member? I suspect some must say they don't always know the difference about some people. Many of us are not encouraging others in good deeds. As elders this year, we're going to promote and make some opportunities on Sundays and our afternoons. I encourage you to get the yearly calendar that's in the foyer on the table. We're going to organize some things, and we're going to ask you to organize some things personally. A new thing we're promoting this year is signing a card on Sunday. We're going to hand someone a card, and we're going to ask them to write a note to a specific person in the congregation. And then we're going to ask them to hand that same card to someone else for them to add a sentiment to and sign. And they hand it on to the next person, and they hand it on to the next person. We think 4 or 5 people could sign a card every Sunday, primarily between the class period and our worship assembly. That started this morning, by the way. We are again going to provide an opportunity on a few Sunday afternoons for us to get together and write cards together. We did that once toward the end of last year. We had 10 people who came to that, and together we wrote 70 cards in the span of about an hour. And I received feedback from several of those who did receive the cards. And maybe you received one of those cards, and I pray that you were encouraged by that kind of effort. Communication is important. The most encouragement I have ever received from another Christian has been through communication, not sitting together in an assembly. It's always the communication, before or after or during, between our assemblies or typically away from our assemblies, where we can have a conversation. That's where I've been encouraged the most. And Ronnie and I both want all of you to be involved in those kinds of efforts. We need to grow in these things. We have visitation days planned in 2024 that we have placed on our calendar. Literally, go to someone's house. Go to a nursing home on Sunday. That's the idea. We want you to go with someone else. Make a plan, meet up, tell someone you're coming, and go with the purpose of encouraging them. If you can do so, make two or three stops that afternoon. Can you imagine the amount of good that can be accomplished through an effort like this for the widower or the widow? For the shut-in, for the one with ongoing health issues, for the one who is weak in faith. While there, we can pray for one another. We can sing a hymn with one another. We can read scripture together. Talk about what we can do to help each other. We would love to see all of us doing this on a certain Sunday afternoon. A congregation of 100 people encouraging one another away from the assembly. We think that's needed and profitable. We plan to continue our prayer meetings this year on some Sunday afternoons. Those were some of the best attended this past year, but still almost half the congregation did not come. So we would encourage you to attend those things. We plan to continue our devotionals. 6 devotionals are planned at the building this year, and the first one is next Sunday at 3 o'clock. We should have 30 or 40 women at the devotional, some 25 men at the devotional every time. The children have a devotional separate from the adults at that period. We encourage you to come and participate. I know there are some in our congregation who have never attended a devotional. I could probably tell you by name. We've been holding these devotionals for 11 years now. And we have moved them away from our Friday nights that we used to do to a Sunday afternoon, which should make it more convenient for most everybody. Everybody said it would be more convenient, but attendance didn't really reflect that. It was the same people who'd been coming for the past 10 years. We believe you need to be more involved to encourage the brother or sister who's leading the devotional to grow in your own knowledge and application. Additionally, we would ask that you plan and carry out some devotionals in your homes. Not anything that we as elders are trying to organize, but you want to get together and study some things with brethren and look at those things together and encourage each other in that way. We also want to work more at inviting others to our assemblies. We have 2 gospel meetings planned this year, as we typically have done every year. Our first is coming up in about a month, February 4th through the 9th, with George Slover. In September, we'll have a gospel meeting with James Brown that is planned. We have some special efforts planned this year, which you can invite others to. Our high school students can invite some of their friends. We have a plan to divide our high school class next quarter, starting in February, between boys and girls. The boys will meet with John Franks, studying from a workbook entitled I Sought for a Man, written by Robert Harkrider. And the girls will be meeting with Natalie Vimbala, studying from a workbook entitled Don't Kiss Toads, by Sandra Humphrey. We believe these 2 special classes will be profitable to study about things that aren't always appropriate to study in mixed company. On June 23rd of this year, on Sunday afternoon, I'm going to present a study on evidences from archaeology, and everyone is invited to invite friends to come to that. On November 17th, on a Sunday afternoon, I plan to present a class called Marriage Tune-Up that will likely be about 90 minutes. And you're encouraged to invite your friends, have them bring their spouse, and come and just look at what Scripture says to help us improve our marriages. We may come up with some other special efforts that aren't yet on our calendar. We're certainly open to suggestions. Last week on Thursday, I started a midweek encouragement message that I sent out that I hoped you had an opportunity to listen to. It's intended to be short enough you could listen to it while you're driving in the car or a few moments at home. Each one's about 5 minutes. Each one will be an encouragement to be a doer of what God says. And I plan to do that every week this year, Lord willing. This year we're working under a theme of I will do more in 2024. Josh didn't know that I was hitting on that topic. We encourage your increased efforts to attend classes, to attend worship, to do good deeds, to learn new things that you can do in service to God and brethren. We encourage you to volunteer more, to study more, to read your Bible more, to teach your family more. Growth is not about reaching a plateau and stopping. Growth is about ever striving to do more, to do it better, to please God in all that we do. The concept of coasting does not agree with Scripture. Falling back and shrinking back is condemned at the end of Hebrews chapter 10. So I'm challenging you this morning. Will you agree to adopt this as a goal for your life for the coming year? I will do more. Will you join me in that? Can you imagine nearly 100 people in the congregation all committed to doing more? Last Sunday, I brought a strong lesson, at least in my mind, it was a strong lesson, about holiness. And I spoke in that lesson about what holiness is, God's holiness, His expectation of our holiness. And if you were not present last Sunday, then do more today. Go listen to that lesson. It's on our website. You can listen to most of it on the ride home in the car today, I suspect. I based the lesson in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 that says, like the Holy One who has called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. And today I want to encourage you to more holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. It's where I choose to start the lesson. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 1, it says, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Our walk is what's under discussion in this text, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, how we behave ourselves in this life. Holiness is about being set apart from sin and the world. Set apart for our service unto God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 24 says we're supposed to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 says, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness, that we can be holy as He is holy. Each of us have to personalize this lesson. I need to be holy to please God. I need more holiness in my life. Now in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter speaks of the way of righteousness. The right way that God defines, which I'm supposed to walk in. Look at just a few passages with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 15. It says, "Such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." Listen to the language. It's the will of God that we do right. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 17, it says, "For it is better if God should will it, so that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong." And in chapter 4 and in verse 19, it says, "Those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Notice all three of those do not say you need to believe what is right. It says you need to do what is right. Action is required if we want to fulfill God's will. The way of righteousness is revealed to us in Scripture, but we each have to apply it to ourselves, and we have to hold ourselves in obedience to it. Our conduct is supposed to be holy. As I mentioned last week, in Revelation 22 and verse 11, the one who is holy is to still keep himself holy. That's what the passage says. It's my responsibility, my effort, my charge from God. Ephesians 1 and verse 4 says that God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Holiness is not only possible for us, God expects it. I mentioned again this week the passage I concluded with last week, Colossians 3 and verse 12, which says, "As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." I cannot be holy unless I am fulfilling God's commands in my life. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. 1 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, "The temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." That's God's expectations of us. Yet the truth remains that in our walk, we do not always stay in the way of righteousness. I'm going to cover these passages quickly in this point. Romans 3:23 tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 Timothy 6 and 10 says some have wandered away from the faith. Hebrews 6 and 1 Timothy 4 says some will fall away from the faith. Hebrews 10:26 says some sin willfully. Chapter 12 and verse 25 says some refuse God. I want you to remember what Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 13. "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." Because of sins of commission and sins of omission, we are no longer in the way of righteousness. We're not walking in the narrow way, but the broad way. So what are we to do about that? Here's the point of application for us. We need more striving within. We need to fight more the temptation of sins of omission. James 4 and verse 17 says, "To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." We need to fight the temptation to not be involved. Don't stay on the fringe. Bring yourself to things going on with the saints, even if it's not easy or comfortable. Push yourself to do something new. grow into new areas. When you feel tired and incapable of going, make yourself go. We all do those kinds of things related to our job. All the time. Because the job's the priority. I've got to get this done. Yeah, I'm tired. I didn't sleep much last night. I feel exhausted and weary and wore out. I still got to go to work. But we'll skip church assemblies. Something wrong with that mentality, right? I think you'll agree with me. We need to fight the temptation to not exert effort in doing good. Titus 3 and verse 14, listen to the language again. You've heard me preach this point before. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds and meet pressing needs so they will not be unfruitful. The word engage in this passage is translated maintain in the King James. And the word literally means to set or place before, and it includes the idea of giving attention to something. It's about our priorities. Good deeds have to have a priority in our life. So we have to fight the temptation to just sit at home and instead go out and do something good for God and for someone else. I have to fight the temptation to do nothing. I need to pick up my phone. I need to call three or four of my brethren to encourage them. I need to bring brethren to the Wednesday assembly who might not be able to drive at night. There are things that I can do if I will open my eyes looking for it. I've got to fight the temptation to try a little bit by making myself do a lot of good deeds. That's how we grow. So I have to fight that temptation to just don't do anything. As I said, how did you do in 2023? You know God's demands. I've spoken of it. Did your plan for growth in 2023 result in spiritual growth? Did you plan to grow in 2023? If you do the same this year that didn't work last year, we shouldn't be surprised with the same result, huh? You have to fight the temptation to do nothing. You've got to work harder within yourself to become involved and put forth the effort. You need to fight the temptation to forsake assembling with the saints. Choose to be present every planned gathering. Attend the worship assemblies, the gospel meetings, the classes, the devotionals, the prayer meetings, everything else. Just plan to be there. I'm going to do what I can. I have that feeling a lot when we come to a work day here at the church building. John Franks can fix anything. He comes to the work day and he's got a list. I'm going to get all these things done. I come to the work day and I go, here's my hands. What can I do? Show me and I can do that. That's the attitude we need from all of us. We can learn to do good deeds. Again, we do all of these things with our jobs, juggling our schedules so that we can be present at work when we're supposed to be present at work. Even when they change our schedule at work, we'll make it happen. Nothing should be of greater priority than our need to be holy unto God. That includes doing good deeds that he has commanded rather than omitting them. I need to fight the temptation to not show love for others. Ephesians 4 and 28 says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor performing with his own hands what is good so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Sometimes we show love through our physical gifts for the one who has need. Sometimes it may just be that we show love through compassionate words and hugs and tears and cards. I received a lot of all of those things in the past week. It makes a difference. It's very helpful, and I'm very thankful for all that you've done for my wife and I. We're supposed to be this way even toward those who are in the world, but especially toward brethren. 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 speaks of the household of Stephanas, who devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. Is that how people think of me? Or you? We are drawn by what appeals to our lusts. James teaches us that in verse 14 of chapter 1. Each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. I believe a person can lust for inactivity. I can be lustful of doing nothing, to be lazy and not involved. It is the easy path which many take throughout this world. They would rather suffer poverty physically than be active and at work to improve their life. Many Christians suffer from spiritual inactivity. It is the easier path, but it is not going to make me holy. We also need to fight more the temptations of committing sin, violating the commands that God has said. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. In 1 John 5 and in verse 17, he says, all unrighteousness is sin. In Colossians 3 and in verse 5, it says to consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 says that if you are living according to the flesh, then you must die. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says we're supposed to die to sin and live to righteousness. Romans 12 and verse 9 says we are to abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Abhor means to detest it, to be in horror of it. And if that's not our attitude toward committing sin, then we've got to work more this year to change our thinking and our conduct. I have to fight the temptation to sin. I have to re-educate and train my mind to abhor what is evil that might be going on in my life. Romans 6 and verse 21 says that sin is supposed to be the things we're now ashamed about that we used to do. Does it have to be brought to public notice before we're going to be ashamed of it? Are we doing our righteousness to be seen of men? Are we not being fearful of being seen of God? Brethren, we are fighting a war. That's the language of Scripture. It's in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 21. Romans 7 and verse 21, Paul the apostle writes, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. War is not easy for the soldier. And laziness cannot exist if he wants to survive at the battlefront. Being involved and active is how you serve. Not being lazy and doing as little or nothing. Most of us have known some people who have served in the military. And we often will say about some of them that they are gung-ho about their career and their service in the military. And that means by definition they're enthusiastic and eager. Do we as Christians have an enthusiastic and eager mindset about fighting temptation and doing good deeds? We should. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, Titus 1 verse 18, and Timothy 6 and verse 12, that we need to fight the good fight of faith. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. I believe we need more striving within to resist temptation. James 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How much resisting did you do in 2023 about sins of omission and sins of commission? How hard did you resist? How many times in a row did you resist? You know, there's a lot of folks this time of year who are thinking about diets. Hopefully you haven't already broken yours. Consider it this way. You resist eating the cookie. Perhaps 10 times in 10 minutes you resist eating the cookie. Then you eat the cookie and nobody says that you resisted. You gave in. It's only when we only call it resistance when it prevents us from eating the cookie, right? The same is true of any temptation. Please notice in James 4 and in verse 7, we are taught by inspiration of God to submit to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what the passage is telling us. And we are told how to do that at the beginning of the verse. Submit, therefore, to God. If you're struggling with sins of omission, then submit to what God says that you should be doing. Get busy. Be at work. Get involved and be a part. Change your life and how you're living. If you're struggling with sins of commission, then submit to God. He says we need to repent and then do what is right. This will involve, necessarily, that we spend more time with Christians, working hard to do good deeds, putting forth effort and growing in our knowledge and understanding of God's will, so that we might prevent the giving in to temptation. Jesus was tempted by Satan. That's recorded for us in Matthew 4. I believe he was tempted many more times, but Matthew 4 records this instance for us. And he resisted the temptation every time by quoting Scripture. And we look to that and we go, that's exactly what I need to do, and it's right. But I can only do that if I have put forth the effort to learn the Word of God to be able to bring it to mind in that moment of temptation. To know what's right and what's wrong. I encourage you to read your Bible daily. I put a schedule out on the table in the foyer. If you need that, take it. I can point you to many, many more on the internet. Read your Bible. A stronger faith only comes from knowing God's Word. That's the truth of Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. We need more effort. I want to bring the lesson to a close, and I'd like you to read with me in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Scripture says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I believe we too need to wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. Ronnie and I believe that's what's most needed in our congregation and by each one of us. Our deeds are not yet completed in the sight of God. Do we need to remember what we have received and heard? The message found in Scripture? We need to keep it. We need to repent. So I ask again, will you do more in 2024? Will you be more holy? Will you strive more within? Because if we will not wake up, if we will not make the changes I've even spoken of in this lesson, Christ is going to judge. If you're in need of repentance in your life, I urge you to do so. Make the decision right now to change. And then you must follow through with actions that demonstrate your change. More resistance to temptation. More holiness in your life. If you would desire the prayers of the saints, we're happy to offer them and to encourage you in these things. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to. Some present with us have heard the gospel message many times before, but you've not yet responded in obedience. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, resurrected from the dead, now reigning in heaven, he commands that you repent of your sin and confess him before men, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. It's then you're placed in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found. And then you must continue to grow, walking in the way of righteousness, being holy before God and striving within to fight temptation and do the things that God commands. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, now is the opportunity. Come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.